Hey, Steve, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great. What does it mean to you and Gary Danielson and Jamie to call this game in that setting?
It's going to be pretty special, Steve. You know, we obviously love it where it normally is in Philadelphia and have 76,000 people. And in this weird season, to not be able to do that, but to have it here, I think it's going to be really cool. We just kind of got the setup about where the mids and the cadets are going to be sitting, and it's going to be kind of in a horseshoe semicircle underneath us and across from us. So, you know, when we come on to open up the game tomorrow, you're going to be able to see everybody in the stands. It's not going to be full, but it's going to be pretty good considering what we've had in some of the stadiums, you know, this year. So I think it's going to be awesome. I was just telling Matt before we came on, it was beautiful this morning, and it's clouding up a little bit now, and I hope the weather holds. But if we could have played it today, it would have been gorgeous on TV.
Absolutely. Will they still be allowed to march in, or will they just be seated when you start?
No, we're going to have the march-ons, which will be cool. And, you know, CBS Sports Network has most of that stuff before we hit our pregame show at 2:30, and then we hit the air at 3. So that part's going to be the same. And, you know, the president will make an appearance at the beginning. And so all the pomp and circumstance, I guess, that we would normally have, we're going to have anyway. It's just be on a smaller scale.
Well, big scale is obviously doing the SEC week in and week out. When you get the opportunity to do Army-Navy, what does that do for the game? Because the game is, it seems like the game has had a resurgence of popularity in recent years. What does it mean to get back into that setting with all due respect to the SEC?
Well, I really love this part because, you know, I know you and I have talked about this before, but in the SEC on a weekly basis, you get a little bit jaded because, let's face it, way more than half, probably 75% of the guys that play in the SEC think that they're going to play in the NFL. And that doesn't pan out that way for them, but a lot of them think that way. And so, you know, their purpose is, that's fine. That's their profession that they want to achieve to make it to the National Football League. That's not the case here, you know. These guys have a bigger purpose and a deeper purpose and a purpose for the country. And when you talk to the players, you just get that feeling. And it makes you kind of emotional because it's more than a football game, and it is to these guys. And, you know, they're eventually going to be on the same team or in the same profession, sort of, protecting the country, that type of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, for this 2.5, I usually say 3.5 hours, this 2.5 hours, they're anything but brothers, but they will be as soon as the game is over. So it's a really cool feeling to do this game, and I didn't know that when the first time I did it, I was just kind of really concerned about not screwing it up. And now it's gotten to the point where this is one of the things I look forward to almost more than anything else the rest of the year.
It's interesting when you look at the two teams. Army has a really good record, but I believe they've had to rotate quarterbacks a little bit along the way. Navy, Perry was so great last year, they beat them. But how evenly matched in reality are these two teams?
We're going to find out. I agree with you. You know, Army's 7-2, but you look at their schedule and you go, well, it wasn't exactly a murderer's row, you know. And they lost to Tulane, and Navy actually beat Tulane, even though that was a huge comeback to win that game for them. So you kind of compare and you look at it and you go, well, if Navy had somebody that was like a Malcolm Perry, they wouldn't be 3-6. But they have shuffled quarterbacks like crazy. Both teams have, and it's really weird to see because Army's actually had four quarterbacks that have not only started but won a game. And Navy can't seem to kind of find the guy they're looking for, even though they think Xavier Arline is the guy now. But, you know, that position is so important in football in general. But in this case, they not only handle it all the time, they make all the decisions. And you can say, well, you know, RPO people do that too, and quarterbacks either throw or pull it and run or, you know, whatever. In these kind of offenses, it's imperative to have a guy that's either super fast, super shifty, or is super smart. And it's hard to get all three of those, you know. And so both teams have been looking for that all year. And the guys we're going to see at least start the game are really young guys that aren't that experienced, but they're both pretty talented. So whoever turns it over less from that position is probably going to be the team that will win. Yeah.
When you look at Jeff Monken and you look at Ken Niumatalolo, when you talk to them, Brad, what strikes you about each? And is it something that you can tell, quote, they get it?
Yeah, they get it. And they both have had opportunities to go other places, I think. And so I appreciate their commitment. You know, Kenny's in his 13th year, Jeff's in his 7th. You know, I think they really respect the places they coach at. And despite the fact that there's other people that have, you know, pulled at them a little bit about, you know, coaching elsewhere, they've stuck with it. And I think they know the quality of the kids, the young men that they are coaching, and I think that it really means something to them. And so, and you know, they're good friends, and we kid around with them about, we were talking to Ken the other day, and I think Gary said, you know, instead of you guys playing, why don't we just put you and Monken in a cage match together and just see who comes out on top, you know, because they're friends every other day of the year except this day. And Ken said, Monken wouldn't last 5 seconds with me. You know, so, I mean, they're fiery guys. They're cocky, you know, and their teams play that way. And, you know, Navy will say that Army's the chippiest team that they play all year. And Navy would say the same thing. So that's what makes them pretty unique.
Have you done a game in Mikey before?
I have not, sir. I have been over there a couple years ago when we were up here, went over and looked at it, but I haven't even been in the booth yet. So, they, you know, and this year I would have been over there for, you know, 2 or 3 days already just looking the place over. But, you know, they've got us in lockdown, man. We don't go anywhere other than our hotel room when we get here, and then they pick us up and take us to the game. And other than that, everything is Zoom, and all our food is brought to us, or we are ordering food to our rooms and so forth and so on. So kind of all the fun stuff that I could have done in the last 2 days at West Point, I don't get a chance to do. So you know where I'm coming from on that.
Yeah, I sure do. It's enjoy the view, because, I mean, up in that box, when you look out, see the reservoir, and it's just incredible. Just incredible.
Yeah, it's beautiful, and I should have gotten out earlier today, and now it's cooling off a little bit. I might take my walk and say, well, I think I'm going to have to wait till next time I'm up here.
Obviously, I referenced the SEC earlier. When you look at the path to this, obviously Alabama's got a direct path. I want to ask you about Florida for a moment. When you have seen Florida, what have you seen, and can they go toe-to-toe, for example, with an Alabama?
You know, I think offensively they can. I just don't know if they can stop Alabama. I haven't seen anybody stop them yet this year, and I've had them 5 times, you know. And, you know, Florida's defense at times has been really shaky, and then it's improved a little bit. I think at the beginning of the year they were looking at some guys that were returning players, and they thought, well, they're our guys. And then I think over the course of the first month or so of the season, they realized that through COVID problems and injury problems, that some of the backups were actually better than the guys they had starting. So I think they solidified it. Todd Grantham did a little bit that way. But you know him, it's risk and, you know, reward deal with him. I mean, if he blitzes Mac Jones on third down, Devontae Smith's going 70 yards the other direction for a touchdown. No, that's just the way it is right now. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how they want to play defense against Alabama. But everybody that's tried everything this year, it hasn't worked. So we'll see.
Yeah, Jack Ham and I were driving back from Rutgers on Saturday, and the topic of Alabama came up, and I said, they lose Waddle. They're the only team in the country that could replace him. I mean, that's how deep they are. They're remarkable.
Yeah, you know, the game, I don't know if it was the game or the game after Jalen got hurt, you know, I kind of mentioned, well, John Metchie's their third receiver this year, and he goes for, you know, $1.85 or something in that game, or maybe it was the following game, I don't know. I'm like, yeah, they're fine. They're fine. Would they be better with him? Damn right they would be. But, you know, Devontae Smith's a star, and he probably was understated because of the guys they had, you know, last year with Ruggs and Judy, and he was kind of the third stooge, you know, the three stooges or the three amigos or whatever. And that dude's an amigo by himself, man. He is something.
Yeah. What kind of consideration should Texas A&M at least get conversationally about the college football playoff?
I guess if everything fell in place, you know, like it could happen.
Sure.
Everybody's not on an even scale, as we know, and that's kind of the weird thing. You know, everybody's not ordering off the same menu this year. So right. I don't know. You know, I've seen them a couple times, and they were way better the second time than the first time. You know, they lost to Alabama, and they lost kind of badly, but who hasn't lost kind of badly to Alabama, you know? So they've improved. They're better. They're better. Their offense is pretty balanced. And when Kellen Mond plays well, they're a pretty good football team. Are they, I don't know, are they Final Four material? I don't really think so. But
right.
if the committee says they're five and somebody else loses, then that's good enough for me, I guess.
Yeah. Finally, I want to ask you about this. Obviously, the various conversations you have with players and coaches, you just described what you have to go through along with Gary and Jamie and the entire crew on a week-by-week basis. What kind of respect have you developed for the coaches and the players because of what they go through, and that have had the ability that on most weeks they've been able to, quote, pull this thing off?
It's been something. I give, you know, everybody credit that has taken a shot at it, you know, and I don't have to say anything about the SEC or the ACC or whatever. I like the fact that they, you know, kind of waited at the beginning and tried to come up with backing the season up enough that, and with some open gaps in there so everybody could try to get their 10 games in or their 11 games in, whatever. You know, I think it's harder just because I'm doing Army-Navy at this point. These guys, it's been unbelievable because they usually have, I think they call them walking days or whatever, and that's,
right.
you know, several days a month where they can go to McDonald's or do, you know, whatever they want to do. I think Army's had five of those this year, and Navy's had either six or eight. I mean, they have been locked down, man, and I'm talking about locked down. Just to be able to play football, and a lot of the players have said coming into this, if there wasn't a season, there was going to be an Army-Navy football game. So, you know, kind of some of the sacrifices everybody have made over the course of the season, and that's everybody from, you know, coaches and players to commissioners to everybody. It's been weird, you know, and I don't know. I'm 14 for 14 on testing negative, including the one I took yesterday. I'm just so thankful we got to this point, because when I talked to you earlier in the season, I wasn't sure we were going to have a season, much less get to the end of it.
Well, the good news for me is they took the Penn State game and they moved it to noon yesterday afternoon, which means I will be in a very nice, easy chair after being in Beaver Stadium to watch your broadcast tomorrow. I can't wait to watch Army-Navy and to hear you, Gary, and Jamie work the game. Thanks so much for your time. Always appreciate you very much. And to you and your great family, if we don't get a chance to talk between now and then, happy holidays.
You too, Steve. Have a great call tomorrow, man, and have a good holiday.